Chapter 5 Praying in the Spirit. First, over and over again in what has already been said, we have seen our dependence upon the Holy Spirit in prayer. This comes out very definitely in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and in Jude 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. Indeed, the whole secret of prayer is found in these three words, in the Spirit. It is the prayer that God the Holy Spirit inspires that God the Father answers. The disciples did not know how to pray as they ought, so they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." "We know not how to pray as we ought, but we have another teacher and guide right at hand to help us." John 14:16, 17. "The Spirit helpeth our infirmity." Romans 8:26. He teaches us how to pray. True prayer is prayer in the Spirit, that is, the prayer the Spirit inspires and directs. When we come into God's presence, we should recognize our infirmity, our ignorance of what we should pray for or how we should pray for it, and in the consciousness of our utter inability to pray aright, we should look up to the Holy Spirit, casting ourselves utterly upon Him to direct our prayers, to lead out our desires, and to guide our utterance of them. Nothing can be more foolish in prayer than to rush heedlessly into God's presence, and ask the first thing that comes into our mind, or that some thoughtless friend has asked us to pray for. When we first come into God's presence, we should be silent before Him. We should look up to Him, to send His Holy Spirit, to teach us how to pray. We must wait for the Holy Spirit, and surrender ourselves to the Spirit, then we shall pray aright. Oftentimes, when we come to God in prayer, we do not feel like praying. What shall one do in such a case? Cease praying until he does feel like it? Not at all. When we feel least like praying is the time when we most need to pray. We should wait quietly before God, and tell Him how cold and prayerless our hearts are, and look up to Him and trust Him, and expect Him to send the Holy Spirit to warm our hearts and draw them out in prayer. It will not be long before the glow of the Spirit's presence will fill our hearts, and we will begin to pray with freedom, directness, earnestness, and power. Many of the most blessed seasons of prayer I have ever known have begun with a feeling of utter deadness and prayerlessness, but in my helplessness and coldness I have cast myself upon God, and looked to Him to send His Holy Spirit, to teach me to pray, and He has done it. When we pray in the Spirit, we will pray for the right things and in the right way. There will be joy and power in our prayer. Second, if we are to pray with power, we must pray with faith. In Mark 11:24, Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." No matter how positive any promise of God's word may be, we will not enjoy it in actual experience unless we confidently expect its fulfillment in answer to our prayer. "If any of you lack wisdom," says James, "let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now that promise is as positive as a promise can be, but the next verse adds, "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." There must then be confident, unwavering expectation. But there is a faith that goes beyond expectation, that believes that the prayer is heard and the promise granted. This comes out in the revised version of Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, all things, whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye have received them, and ye shall have them." But how can one get this faith? Let us say with all emphasis, it cannot be pumped up. Many a one reads this promise about the prayer of faith, and then asks for things that he desires and tries to make himself believe that God has heard the prayer. This ends only in disappointment, for it is not real faith and the thing is not granted. It is at this point that many people make a collapse of faith altogether by trying to work up faith by an effort of their will, and as the thing they made themselves believe they expected to get is not given, the very foundation of faith is oftentimes undermined. But how does real faith come? Romans 10:17 answers the question, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If we are to have real faith, we must study the Word of God and find out what is promised, then simply believe the promises of God. Faith must have a warrant. Trying to believe something that you want to believe is not faith. Believing what God says in His Word is faith. If I am to have faith when I pray, I must find some promise in the Word of God on which to rest my faith. Faith furthermore comes through the Spirit. The Spirit knows the will of God, and if I pray in the Spirit, and look to the Spirit to teach me God's will, He will lead me out in prayer along the line of that will, and give me faith that the prayer is to be answered. But in no case does real faith come by simply determining that you are going to get the thing that you want to get. If there is no promise in the Word of God, and no clear leading of the Spirit, there can be no real faith. And there should be no upbraiding of self for lack of faith in such a case. But if the thing desired is promised in the Word of God, we may well upbraid ourselves for lack of faith if we doubt, for we are making God a liar by doubting His Word.